Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara at the top of Kuf Zayin begins with the story of David and Bathsheba. We feature a long note marking, a long point marking, as you can see in the space between the Gemara and the Rashi, a nun that's encircled with a dashed vertical line, extending to the second wide line. This indicates that all of the lines opposite this dashed vertical line are here to develop a particular point. Omar Rav Yudah Marav, Li'olam al Yovi Odom Atzmo Lidei Nisayon. A person should never bring himself to the point at which he is being tested. Sharei Dovin Elech Yisrael Hevi Atzmo Lidei Nisayon V'Nichshal. Dovid brought himself to being tested and failed. At this point, the Gemara is going to give us a little bit of the background. Omar Lefonov, David said to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, this is the background for how he came to being tested out. Ribono shel Olam, mipnei ma oimrim Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Why is it that when we daven, when we pray in the Shemona Esrei, do we mention the Kodesh Baruch Hu as the God of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? V'ein oimrim Elokei David. This was David's question. Omar, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu responds, Inhu minsu li. They were tested by me and passed the test. Hence, they merited being incorporated in the Shemona Esrei, as we just mentioned. V'at lo minsus li. But you have not been tested. Omar Lefonov, so David says, Ribono Shalom, Bechoneni Venaseni. So, give me a test. Notice we've dashed, underlined the expression Bechoneni Venaseni. Test me out, give me a Nisayon. Because this is the main point of this long point, his request for a test. Shenemar, Bechoneni Asher Venaseni, V'chulei. Omar, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Min sino loch, I will give you a test if you so desire. Ve'avidno milsa bahadoch, delididhu lo hodatinu, viluano ko modano loch, deman sino loch bedva ervo. I'm going to do something for you. That's avidno milsa bahadoch. I'm going to do something with you that's special, that I did not do with them. And what is that? So we read, delididhu, to them, the avos, Lo hodasinhu, I didn't inform them ahead of time in what area their test would be. The ilu ano ko modano loch de minsino loch bedvar ervah. However, with regard to you, I am informing you that I'm going to test you out in the realm of intimacy. Miyad. Now we will be exposed to the incident whereby David became aware of Bathsheba. Vayila eso erev, vayokom David me'al mishkovo, vayar isha roichetzes me'al hagag. It was toward the evening, and David got up from his slumber, and he noticed a woman washing herself from above the roof. Omar Rav Yudah, Shehofach mishkovo shelaylo lemishkovo sheyoyim. David HaMelech had a practice with regard to his own behavior within the realm of intimacy, where he conducted intimacy during the morning as opposed to the evening. He had a certain calculated hope, Rashi says, at the top of the page, Shahofach Mishkovo Shalal Lishayom Shoya Mishamish Mitoso Bayoim, he conducted intimacy by day, Kadeshiahe Sovea Mitashmish, in order that he should have a feeling of satisfaction from this particular area, Velo Yahar Achar Isha Kolayom. And as a result of that, he thought he would not have, he would not be preoccupied with thoughts of women during the day. Well, what happens in the story is, the Gemara points out the Nisalmo Mimenu Halacha, but he forgot a certain fact. And the fact is, Aver Koton Yesh Ba'odam, there is a small limb that a male has, Masbio Ra'ev, Umarivo Sovea, one who caters to it, he has a feeling of need all the time. One who restricts it has only then has a feeling of satisfaction. So, by the fact that he behaved the way he did, he only increased his desire for intimacy. Vayishalach al gag beis hamelech, he was walking on the roof of the palace. Vayar isha roichetzes me'al hagag, and from over the roof he noticed a woman washing herself. The woman was very attractive. The Gemara comments, Bas Sheva, Have Kochaifa Resha Tusi Chalsa. The Dovan HaMelech didn't immediately notice her. What had happened is that Bas Sheva was rinsing her hair underneath a chalsa. Chalsa is often translated as a beehive. Rashi here translates it as a beehive. There may be other translations, such as she was washing behind a screen. Whichever way, she was doing her washing, rinsing her hair in a sanua fashion, not exposed. However, also Satan idmile ketzifrisa, the Satan appeared to David as a bird, and at that point, posak begira. David shot an arrow at the bird in an attempt to get the bird, but the arrow ended up splitting open the beehive. Poska lechalsa, it cut into the beehive. Igla, she became exposed. Vachazia, and it's at that point that he noticed her. Miad, vayishlach David vayidrosh leisha, upon seeing her and becoming inflamed with a desire for her, he sought out information concerning the woman. Vayomer halo zos bas sheva bas elyon eshes uri hachiti. He was informed that she is bas sheva, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah hachiti. Vayishlach David malachim vayikocheha. David sent messengers and he brought her to him. Vatovo eloha vayishka vimo. He, after bringing her to him, he was with her. Vehi miskadeshes mitumasa. She was not in her woman's. She was not in her woman's period of nida, the monthly woman cycle. So she was tahora. Vatoshev el beso, and she returned home. It has to be noted, though, that she's labeled here as the wife of Uriah. Uriah was a gentleman who went to battle at this point. He was in at war. And it was known that all soldiers going to war in David's armies gave divorce documents, gave gittin to their wives before going, solving a problem that could arise. We'll say preempting a problem that could arise, whereby if a man is lost at battle and his whereabouts are unknown, the wife turns into an aguna, a restricted woman, whereby she is considered married because we don't know the whereabouts of her husband. So the practice in David HaMelech's armies was that a get divorce document was given before they went into battle. So on a technical basis, she was not actually married at this point. Hence, David HaMelech had a right to take her. He wouldn't have taken her otherwise. We see, though, that the whole method of his taking her would be one we would call a bit of an eyebrow raiser. And it's in that context that we're looking at this as a type of sin. But an actual sin by letter of the law, that is not the case. V'hainu diftiv, and it's based on this that the pasuk says, Bochanto libi, pokadeto lailo, tziraftani bal timtso, zamosi bal yavor pi. The gist of the pasuk is that you tested me out regarding a night activity, namely intimacy, if I could stand up, but you found that I was not able to stand up to the test. And at the end of this pasuk quote, we see the expression Zamosi Baal Yavor Pi. The Gemara explains, Omar David said, Ichu Zimoma Nofal Bepume Demandesoni Li Velo Omar Ki Ho Milso. Had it only been that a type of muzzle would have fallen over my mouth, and I wouldn't have requested the test in the first place, that would have been better for me. We see an expression used on the first wide line toward the end where he says, demand the sonili, literally means that the one who hates me, but it's a euphemism referring to himself. So he's saying that had it only been that a muzzle would have fallen onto my mouth and I wouldn't have said what I did. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a geometric form, we call it the volcano form, a trapezoid. It represents a series, as do all of our geometric forms in the Gemara marking system. You notice on the side the Mivneh note, the structural note. The structural notes generally accompany the appearance of a new geometric form in the Gemara. Here, the trapezoid encompasses the expression Dorash Ravos. We have a series, and you can scan down the daf, and you'll see a series of these Jeroshois of Rava, Rava's expositions. Dorash Rava, my dichtiv, lam natsech l'dovid b'shem chosisi eich tomu l'nafshi nudi harchem tzipor. The Gemara, Rava explains, Omar, David, l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David said to the Almighty, Ribbono shel Olam, O God, Machuli al oisei avon, forgive me for that offense. Shelo yomru, that people shouldn't say, Har shebochem, the mountain amongst you, a reference to a king, being a great individual, like a mountain. Tzipor nedadoso, a mere bird was able to move it. That through the story of the bird that we saw above, and here we've provided an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating try to find a parallel arrow, and if you move up a few lines, you'll see one, and you'll notice that it's pointing to a line where we have the dashed underline expression, Kitzifitsa, and the parallel dash underline here, Tzipor, a reference to the story above, where the Sutton appeared as the bird and was the cause of his failing the test. So here, David HaMelech is praying to God, forgive me for that particular offense, and cause it so that people shouldn't say that the king was moved, was pushed aside by a bird. Dorash Rava, my dichtiv, v'chol levadcha chotasi, v'ra b'necha sisi, l'man titztak b'dovrecha tizkeh b'shoftecha. That's the pasuk, and now explain. Omar Dovah v'yakodesh baruchu. Galya v'yadiyah kamoch, it is known to you, it is obvious and known to you, the ibaya l'michbe l'yitzri, had I made an effort to overcome my evil inclination, have a kayfino, I would have been successful in overcoming it, in suppressing it. Elo amino, but rather the reason I allowed myself, so to speak, to stumble and take the woman was Elo. I figured Elo amino de lo lemru avdo zochi lemore, that it shouldn't be said that the servant was victorious over the master. In other words, above it was implied that Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want to give David a test, feeling that David wouldn't necessarily pass the test, and if David were to have overcome to suppress his Yetzer, it would create an impression that David outdid, so to speak, kivyochol the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So as to preserve the dignity of the Almighty, David allowed himself to fail the test so that it should show that the Kodesh Baruch Hu was victorious, so to speak. Dorash Rava, Mai Dichtiv Ki Ani Litzela Nachoin Umachovi Negdi Somid. The word Tzela in this pasuk is a reference to the fact that the woman in the story of creation, Chava, was formed from a Tzela of Odom Horishon. So the word Tzela is a reference to a woman, and in this case he's saying that this woman was fit for me. She was really designed to be my woman, to be my wife. Ru'uya hoisa Basheva bas Eliam leDavid misheishes yemei breishes. Basheva was really destined to be David's mate from the days of creation. Ela shebo elov b'machov. Rather, the circumstances under which she came to him were through circumstances of pain, namely his failing this test. V'chein tonu debei Rabbi Shmuel, and thusly it's taught in the following Tanaic source, Ru'uya hoisa leDavid Basheva bas Eliam ela she'ochlo paga. She was technically fit for him, however, he took her prematurely. The expression Ela she'ochlo paga literally means paga is a date, a fig that's not fully ripe. So eating that which is not quite ready is termed ochlo paga. His taking her prematurely, hence, is referred to by this expression. So that as far as the general scheme of things, she would have been David's wife in the course of time, but he hastened the picture. Dorash Rava, Mai Dichtiv, Uvitzali, Samchu, V'nesofu, Nesfu, Olai Nechim, V'lo Yodati, Koru, V'lo Domu. Well, this is now explained. Omar David, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribonu Shem Golui, V'yodua Lifonecha, it is well known to you, Sheim Hoyu Korin, Besori, Lohoyo Domi, Shoises, that if my flesh would be torn open, my blood wouldn't drip from it. In other words, through all the embarrassment that I've gone through, it's as if they drained the blood from me. I'm white with embarrassment, without blood, so to speak. V'lo od elo b'shah sheheim oiskin ba'arba misas beisdin poiskin mi mishnasan v'omrim li, when they, my detractors, are studying the sugya in Sanhedrin dealing with the four different types of court execution, they stop their discussion, they see me and they say to me, David, habo al eshes ish misas b'ma, a man that has relations with a married woman, what is his death penalty? Amati lohem habo al eshes ish misas b'chenek, one who has relations with an eshes ish, with a married woman, his death penalty is through strangulation. However, v'yesh lo chelek l'olam haba, he has a portion in the world to come. Ava hamalbin penei chaver barabim, but embarrassing someone in public like you are trying to do to me, ein lo chelek l'olam haba, loses their portion in the world to come. As we go on in the Gemara, we note a new geometric form. We have a crown marking. This is explained by under the Mivneh heading on the side of the Gemara, Memros Shel Rav Yehuda Marav. We'll see a series of comments made by him. Omar Rav Yehuda Marav, Afilu Bishas Cholio Shel David, even when David was infirmed, Kayim Shmoina Asor Oinos, he had 18 wives, and he fulfilled his conjugal obligations with them, even though he was in a state of infirmity. Shenemar Yogati Ban Chosi Asche B'cholaylo Mitosi B'dim Osi Arsi Amse. Rashi addresses this pasuk at on the inside column of commentary. The bottom line: Ban Chosi Asche Afilu B'shas An Chosi. Even at the time of my troubles, of my woes, Asche B'cholaylo Mitosi Tashmish Hamita. This is a reference to intimacy. Inyan Schi Umois Kori Lei. It's termed in other words, intimacy is referred to by the term Schi. So we have Asche. B'dimosi Arsi Amse. Shebishas Dimosi Ani Mamis Es Mitosi B'tashmish. That at the time of my tears, Dimosi, my tears, my sickness, my pains, I nevertheless perform my marital obligations, which is quite an outstanding feat and act of consideration. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, the Gemara continues, Bikesh David la'avoid avodah zarah. Translated, it means David sought to engage in idol worship. The Marsha presents a phenomenal explanation to this. Based on the Gemara at the end of Ksubos, a person who lives in the land of Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, who leaves Eretz Yisrael, who goes to the exile or to the diaspora, or to what's called chutzlarts, areas outside Eretz Yisrael, leaving Eretz Yisrael is tantamount to idol worship. So when the Gemara uses the expression that David was going to engage in idol worship, it's not to be understood necessarily as bowing down to an idol and believing that it has some kind of powers, nothing of the sort. But as the Marsha says, David calculated that he'd rather leave Eretz Yisrael, which is considered like idol worship. And we'll see why he wants to do this in a moment. Shinemar, Vayhi David bo ad ha-roish, asher yishtacha v'sham l'Elohim. V'ein roish el avodah zarah. In this pasuk it said that David came to Rosh. The word Rosh is a reference to idol worship. Shinemar, v'hu tzalmo reishei di dahav tav. In the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had in Sefer Daniel, you see the reference to tzalmo reishei, the head of a particular image. The Gemara goes on in this context. Vihine likrosoi. We are continuing with Pasuk Lamed Beis that started the line above where David, it was described that David was going to come to idol worship. Vihine likrosoi Hushai ha'arki korua kutanto v'adoma al roishoi. And behold, Hushai, one of the king's counselors, came with a torn garment and dirt on his head. Omar loy l'David. Hushai said to David HaMelech, if you engage in avodah zarah, Yomru, people will say in amazement, Melech shekamoscha yavod avodah zarah, that a king like you, a known pious individual like you, should go off to idolatry. And as we said before, it meant you're going to leave Eretz Yisrael, which is considered like idolatry. Omar loy. So David said, Melech shekamosi, someone who is like me, a pious one like me, Yahargenu beno, should he be the victim of being killed by his son? This is a reference to, and we should have mentioned it a little bit earlier, that this is a reference to the story toward the end of David HaMelech's life where Avshalom, his son, rebelled and was intent on killing David, his own father. So David, in order to create a call it an image saver of sorts, so as not to be the subject of people's amazement or wonder, how is it that someone like David should end up being killed by his son? He wanted to create a different circumstance for which, if he were killed, there would be ascribed to his doing avodah zarah, to his being engaged in this form of quasi-idolatry, so that it wouldn't be so amazing. People would be able to say, oh, the reason he died was because he engaged in avodah zarah. But if he stays put and is killed by his son, people will be too confounded by that, by his being killed by his son without any seeming grounds. The main problem is explained by Rashi in the outside column, third line from the top, Yomru, Melech Shikamosi, Chosid Shikamosi, someone who is pious like me. Hargo Ibeno, people would say he was killed by his son. The Yehu Misramim Al Midos Shel Kosh Baruch Hu, and people will question the characteristics of the traits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nimtza Shem Shamayim Mischal B'Farhesya, and that will be the cause of a defamation of God's name in public. So we continue in the Gemara, Mutav Yavod Avodah Zarah, better that I should be guilty of something that's like idolatry, and if I'm killed, so people will ascribe it to that. Ve'al Yischal Shem Shamayim B'Farhesya, and thereby preventing the defamation of God's name in public. Omar, Hushai questions David, "My time of kon sivas yefas toar. Why is it that you married a woman known as a yefas toar? This is a woman that in battles, the Torah says that if one notices a Gentile woman in the course of battle, because one knows, because the Torah knows, and everyone knows that the state of mind that soldiers are in the course of battle, so the Torah has a certain allowance for taking a woman, even a Gentile woman, for himself, and eventually to marry her, with, of course, a whole list of certain restrictions that the Torah itself spells out. The question, though, is, why is it that you took a Yefas Toar? Before we go further, let's take a look at the Rashi. You'll see Rashi with a star on it. Omar Le, Hushai Ha'arki L'David. Hushai, the counselor, Hushai Ha'arki, said to David, HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'ovid Dina B'lo Dina. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, if he does something, he does it with a reason, with a calculation. Shemamid bincha lahargacha. He is causing Avshalom, your son, to kill you. The at my taimo nasus yefas toar. Why is it that you married a woman like that? The imo shel Avshalom, the mother of Avshalom, mother of this boy, of this son, was machobas tamei melech Goshur. She was the daughter of this idol worshipping king Talmai, the king of Goshur. V'tafsa David b'mechoma, and David grabbed her, or he took her, in the course of a battle. T'ein lomar ba'avero ba'olo, one will not say that through sin this came upon him, doksiv, rak b'dvar uriyo hachiti. The only questionable matter concerning David was the issue of uriyo hachiti, but not anything else. So Hushai asks David, why is it that you took this woman, the mother of Avshalom, as a wife? Amalei. So David answers, Yefas Torah, Rachmona Shari, the Torah allows it. Like, what are you asking me about? It's quite permissible. Amalei. So Hushai says, Lo darshis smuchin, desomichle, do you not pay attention to proximity of psukim? Because next to the parsha, next to the section dealing with the Yefas Torah, you find in the Torah the following, Kiye leish ben sorer umoreh. From which we learn, Kohanoise Yefas Toar, anyone who marries a Yefas Toar, Yeshlo Ben Soromoro, you'll have a rebellious type son. So the fact that you have Avshalom, who is seeking your death, is really of no wonder in the first place. Because, true, the Torah makes an allowance for taking a Yefas Toar, but it comes with a price. One who takes a Yefas Toar can anticipate having a rebellious son. Darash Rav Dostoy de Minbiri, Lema David Doime. What is David like? L'socher Kusi, to a Kusi merchant. The Rashi says, Socher Kusi, Darko Lefanois Eschoroso Ma'at Ma'at, La'amido Aldomim Mu'atim. He has a certain technique in dealing with merchandise to cause prices to be lowered, little by little. And that's what's described now in the Gemara. On the side, we have a mivneh note, because we're going to encounter a series of numbers in triangles, 1 through 6, shlavim, stages, shedavid mevakesh mechila, through which David is seeking out atonement or forgiveness, min hakal el achomor. He's going to start out with seeking forgiveness from a light type sin, and eventually work his way up to the heavy. We'll see all of that described by the Gemara. We'll also notice a double underlined expression that appears numerous times. The double underline with dots in it. Shviki loch, meaning I leave you, I forgive you. Let's now see this illustration of David HaMelech behaving like a Kusi merchant and his attempt to lower the price, so to speak. But we've already explained in his attempt to seek forgiveness in a graded fashion. Omar David lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu shel olam shkiyos miyovin. How can one watch himself from shogeg, from something that's that's that comes about through unanticipated events. Amalei shviki loch. Well, he says, HaKadosh Baruch says, for shogeg, I forgive you. Uminestarois nakeni, which is a continuation of that very same pasuk, which is a reference to things done in a premeditated way, but betzina, in privacy. Shviki loch. So HaKadosh Baruch says, I'll forgive you for mazid betzina as well. Gam, the pasuk goes on to say, gam mizedim chasoch avdecha. That is a reference to mazid befarhesya. Can you forgive your servant for that type of offense? Shviki loch. I forgive you. Al yimshalu bi oz esom. The Gemara explains this. De lo lishto bi rabbonon. I want to be at a situation where I will not be spoken about by the rabbonon. The Rashi says, Al yimshalu bi de lo lishto bi rabbonon. Fahainu al yimshalu loshon moshal, loshon of being used as an example. Shelo yidrushu bechatosi chachmei adoros, that I shouldn't be the subject of droshos through by the sages of future generations. V'oz esom, and then I will be strong. Continuing in the Gemara, so he says, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Shviki loch, I'll forgive you. In other words, you won't be the subject of misholim for future generations. V'nikesi mipesha rav, shelo yikosev sirchoini. I want it such that my mistake, my avera, should be erased from the mikra, should not appear in the holy works, and should be forgotten forever. Omar lo, to this the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't answer Shviki loch. He says, E efshar. To have something erased from holy works, that is impossible. Uma yud shenotalti misorai oimed vitzavach kamo shonim ad shebo Yehoshua vosafti lo shenemar vayikach vayikro Moshe Yehoshua binin Yehoshua kol aparsha kulo alachas kamo vekamo. Let's go over this. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Uma yud, mind you, the little letter yud shenotalti misorai, that I took from the name Sorai, when I changed her name from Sorai to Sora, the yud was removed and replaced with a hey. That letter yud, omei v'tzoveach kamashonim, stood and screamed in front of me many years, until ad shebo Yehoshua, until Yehoshua came around, v'osafti lo, and I added the yud to the name Yehoshua, as the pasuk says that Moshe called Hoshea ben Nun Yehoshua, and hence in our markings you'll notice that we squiggle on the line the yud in the name Yehoshua, that was attached to his name. Kol ha'parsha kula achas kama v'kama, an entire section, the section featuring your offense, all the more so I can't erase it. V'nikesi mipesharav, we're at stage 6 in this give and take. Omar lefonov, Ribbono Sholom, mochu li al oiso avon kulo, forgive me for this offense in a complete way. We're talking about the supposed offense of David HaMelech taking Bathsheba, and when we refer to this as an offense, we're referring to more the timing of it, the way he took her prematurely. As we said above, she really was destined to be his mate from Sheshes Yemei Breishis, but rather he ate her, he consumed her prematurely. That's what we saw above in the analogy Sheochla Paga. That's why this is called, it's not a Torah offense, but rather it's an offense it's an offense to good taste. So he wants forgiveness for this. Omar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kvar osit Shlomo bincha lomar b'chochmosoi, it will be said by your son in the future, HaYachte ish eish b'chekoi uvgodov lo tisorafno, imehalech ish al hagecholim v'raglov lo sikoveno, kein habo al eishes reehu lo yinoke kol hanogea bo. The gist of this pasuk is that one who engages in acts of immorality and intimacy that are not of the highest nature and kedusha and holiness, can he save himself from being burnt by it? In other words, for the Kodesh Baruch Hu to say that this sin shall be completely forgiven as if nothing happened, that would be in contradiction to that which Shlomo HaMelech is going to be describing in Sefer Mishle. Omar Leh, so David says upon hearing this call bad news, he says, Kol Hachi Nitra Dehu Gavra, am I to be cast aside so much? In other words, is there no forgiveness for me for this? Amalei, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I have an idea. Kabel olecha yisurin. Accept upon yourself yisurin, pains and troubles, and that can serve as an atonement. Kibel olav, and he accepted upon himself these yisurim. What the yisurim are, we will see described in the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda Marav, Shisha Chadoshim Nitzara David. There were, for a period of 6 months, David experienced Tzaras, V'nistaka Himenu Shechina, U'pirshu Himenu Sanhedrin. The divine presence left him, and the Sanhedrin departed from him. The Gemara now goes through each one of these points. We can see through the markings how we've labeled them Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, and now we have the letters circled corresponding to the 3 points just made. Nitztara, dechtiv, techateini be'ezoi ve'etor, techabseni u'misheleg albin. This pasuk in Tehillim, written by David, describes the purification from being in a state of whiteness, and whiteness is characteristic of tzaras. Nistalka himenu shechina, the divine presence left him, dechtiv, hoshiva li sason yeshecha, v'ruach nediva tismecheni. Return to me the joy of your salvation. Hence a reference to the return of the divine presence which had left him. U'pirshu mimenu Sanhedrin, dechtiv, yoshuvu li yireecha. Let your fear, let your those that fear you come back to me. Hence a reference to the judges in the Sanhedrin. Shisha chadosh minol. How do we know that this was for 6 months? Dechtiv. We have a pasuk which accounts for the years of David as king, and when you look at the chronological accounting, we will discover this 6 month period. Dichtiv ayomim asher molach David al Yisrael arboim shana. V'chevron molach sheva shanim v'shlaim molach shloshim v'sholosh shanim. So one pasuk says that David ruled for 40 years, 7 of which were in Hebron, 33 in Yerushalayim. Uksiv, another pasuk says, Bechevron molach al Yehuda sheva shanim v'shisha chadoshim. He ruled in Hebron for 7 years and 6 months. So if you compare these two Hebron psukim, you'll see that the first one said sheva shanim, and this one says sheva shanim and shisha chadoshim. V'hani shisha chadoshim lo kachoshiv. In the overall accounting of time, they are not accounted for. We saw 40 years. We don't see 40 years and 6 months. So this shows us, Shema Mino Nitztara, during 6 months of his reign, he experienced tzaras. So those months are not considered, because he was unable to function, and his tzaras has a din of being chutz l'machne, he wasn't considered in full kingship during those 6 months. Hence, in the general counting, they are not included. So we see from here that he was a tzaras for 6 months. Omar Lefonov, Ribono Shel Olam, Mocholi al Oso Avon. Kodesh Baruch Hu answers, Mocholach, you are forgiven. Asei imi ois l'toivo. Could very well be that this Gemara is now a continuation of what we saw before. After having received the tzaras, he now turns and asks, I want forgiveness for this. So he says, so Kodesh Baruch Hu answers, okay, you have forgiveness. This was like part of the deal. If you accepted Yisurim, I would forgive you, and hence that's what happened. However, David continues, Asei imi ois l'toivo. I want you to make for me a sign that you forgive me, and through that all of my detractors and enemies will experience embarrassment. We saw these detractors and enemies featured in the Gemara on Omer Aleph as taking every opportunity to embarrass David when they could. Amarle, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, B'chayecha eini modia. During your lifetime, I won't inform regarding this forgiveness. Avol ani modia b'chay Shlomo bincha. But in the lifetime of your son, I will cause it to be known. I will be modia that I forgive you. You'll notice with the markings at this point, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a nun that's circled with a long vertical line that's dashed. That indicates that all of these lines are here to develop a particular point. The Gemara just said that during the lifetime of Shlomo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will let it be known that he forgave David. B'shoah Shibona Shlomo, as Beis HaMikdash Bikesh Lahachnis Oron LeBeis Kodeshei HaKodeshim. At the time that Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, there came a point at which it was necessary for him to bring the Oron, the holy ark containing the Aseres HaDibros, into the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKodeshim area of the sanctuary. Dovku Sharim Zebozai. Miraculously, the gates stuck closed. We see now a double underline marking one of our series indicators. And on the side of the Gemara, we featured here a Tatnose. This is a subtopic within our general discussion. Ois Shosa Kodesh Baruch Hu Bizman Shlomo, Shemocha L'David Al Chet Bas Sheva. A sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in the time of Shlomo, showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives David for his sin with Bas Sheva. The Mivneh, the structural note, indicates this double underlining. Shalosha Shlovim, three stages, Shel Tefillah, of prayer, Ad Sheniftechu Sharei Beis Kodeshei HaKadoshim Lachnosas Ha'oron, that eventually caused the gates to open up to bring the Holy Ark into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the first stage, you see Shlomo saying 24 renonos, 24 prayers of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'lo nene, but he was not answered. In other words, the gates remained stuck closed. Omar, he recited the following, Su shorim rashechem v'inosu pischei oylam v'yovoi melech hakovoid. Mize melech hakovod? Hashem izuz v'gibor, Hashem gibor milchama. V'ne'emar, Su shorim rashechem u'su pischei oylam v'yovoi melech hakovod. The psukim cited here is a reference to let the gates open up and allow the let the Almighty, the King of Honor, enter. V'lo nene, and he wasn't answered. Kevon Shomar, but then when he recited Hashem Elokim Al Toshe Pnei Mishichecha Zichro L'chazde David Avdecha, remember the righteousness of David, your servant, Miyad Nene. Upon citing David's name, that's what caused the gates to open. Ba'oisashah, at that moment, Nefhu Pene, Soine David, Keshule Kedera. The faces of David's enemies turned to look like the bottoms of pots. An expression referring to, we'll call it a facial change of color, or more accurately, an expression of true embarrassment. V'yodu kol Yisrael shemochal loy HaKadosh Baruch Hu al oisoy ovon. And with that, all of Klal Yisrael became aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave David for that particular offense concerning Bathsheba. We've dashed underlined this expression because this is to draw your attention to the fact this is the main thrust of this long point. With that, we conclude that particular topic and start a brand new topic, and this is indicated by the slash mark you see in the Gemara. The Nosei, the topic heading we've assigned to this section, is called Gehazi. Another one of the individuals cited in the Mishnah as not having a chelik in Olam Haba. Gehazi, dichtiv, vayelech Elisha Damesek. Lehechon Azal, the Pasuk says Elisha went to Damesek. Where did he go in that trip? Omar Rabbi Yochanan Shaholach Lahachzir Gehazi Betshuva Velo Chazar. He went to seek Gehazi, seek his penitence, but he did not do penitence. He was not Chozer Betshuva. Omar Lo Chazor B'cho Elisha who said to Gehazi, repent. Omar loy, Gehazi responded, kach mekublani mimcho, I have the following tradition from you. Hachoite umachti esorabim ein maspikin biyodo lasos tshuva. One who sins, but not only sins, but causes others to sin as well, he is not afforded the luxury of doing penitence. My ovad, what was his offense? What was this, the offense of being machti esorabim? So, Iko Damri, we see here several opinions regarding that. On the side of the Gemara, we featured as a tatno, say a subtopic, Gimel Deois Ma Hoyo Chetoi Shel Gehazi De Mishum Kach Nechshav Machti Esorabim. Three opinions concerning Gehazi. What is it that he did that causes him to be categorized as a Machti Esorabim, one who causes the public to sin? So we continue in the Gemara Aleph. You see, we've underlined also the expression Iko De Amri so as to allow the three opinions to stand out, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. So Aleph says Iko De Amri Even She'eves Tola Lechatas Yeravam. Evan Shoeves is a reference to a magnet. He suspended a magnet above the Chatas Yeravam is a reference to the golden calves that Yeravam set up in his kingdom, one in Don and the other in Basel. Then Mida Bein Shemayim Loretz and caused these calves. These metallic calves to be suspended in midair with the magnet drawing it above the ground. The Iko D'Amri, Shem Chokak B'fiha, another opinion is that Gehazi carved out or etched out the name, the holy name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the mouth in the mouths of these Agolim, these calves, these golden calves, voice of Machrezes Veomeres, and through the supernatural powers that the ineffable name conveys, these animals started to talk and say the first two commandments of the Ten Commandments. Anochi is a reference to Anochi Hashem Elokecho, and Velo Yelecho, a reference to the prohibition of having other gods. So as to create an impression that these are the real God. The Iko D'Amri, Rabbonon Docho Mikameh, another approach is that he was responsible for pushing aside the rabbis from having contact with Elisha the Novi. Shinamar, and the Gemara now gives us proof to this. Vayomru b'nei hanavim el Elisha. The student prophets said to Elisha at a point that Gehazi was removed from the picture. They said to Elisha, Hinei no hamokam asher anachnu yoshvim sham lefonecha tzar mimenu. They, at the point that Gehazi was removed, they declared that it seems that the place that we're sitting in is very squalid, it's now tight, meaning there are big crowds of people. Michlal, we can infer the ad hashta until now, namely when Gehazi was there, lo havu, sorry, it wasn't tight, because he was always keeping people away from Elisha, primarily the Rabbanan. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new subtopic heading. On the side, you see the Tatna say, Yemin Mekarev, Smol Doiche, that in human relations, one should always attempt to have the stronger arm involved in drawing people near, and when it comes to chastising or pushing people aside, one should use his Smol, the weaker arm, for that purpose. We'll also involve ourselves with the topic of the healing of Naaman, a general from the Aram army, is being healed from his mitzorosa, from his tzoras. We've included all of this in a under a long point heading. Tanu Rabbanan le'olam tehei smoyel doiche v'yamin mekareves loy ke'elisha shedofo legechazi b'shnei yodayim. One should always strive to have the smoyel, the weaker arm, pushing away, and the stronger arm, mekareves, and not behave like Elisha, who pushed away Gehazi b'shtei yodayim. That's what the Gemara says here, shedochavu l'Gehazi b'shtei yodayim. Gehazi d'chtiv. The Pasuk says, vayomer Naaman. And now we're given the background, what were the circumstances that led up to Elisha pushing away in a forceful fashion Gehazi. So the Gemara gives us all of the background. Vayomer Naaman, Hoel Kach Kikorim, Vayifrotz Boy, Vayotzar Kikraim Kesef, Ushtei Chalifois Begodim. Naaman said to Gehazi, "Swear to me that Elisha sent you, and take two presents are featured in this pasuk: kikrayim kesef, a certain quantity of silver, and garments. That's shtei chalifos begadim. Vayomer, and after Gehazi pressured Naaman to give him these gifts." After Naaman requested that he swear that Elisha sent him, so Gehazi pressured him for the gifts, and he received two gifts, as we have illustrated with our squiggle underlines, the term kesef and begodim. In a subsequent pasuk, we opened up with pasuk chav gimel, and here we're looking at pasuk chav hei, vayomer elav Elisha, me'ayin Gehazi, where are you coming from? Vayomer lo holach avdecha ona ve'ona, and Gehazi says, "I didn't go anywhere." Vayomer elav, the in pasuk chavav, the navi says back. Elisha says to him, "Lo libi holach kasher hofach ish me'al merkavto dekrasecha ha'es lokachas es hakesef ve'lokachas begodim ve'zeisim ukromim v'tzoyin ubokor v'avodim u'shvachos." Is it not so that my heart went with you? Do you think that I'm not aware that you went to Naaman and had him, and while he was riding his animal, and you went to take eight different gifts? In the reading of the Gemara, you may have noticed that we had numbered off 1 through 8 over the individual gift items. So the Navi is saying, are you not aware that I was aware that you took from him 8 gifts? So to this the Gemara asks, Umi shokal kulei hai, did he really take 8 gifts? Kesef ubegodim hu de shokal, all he took was kesef and begodim, 2 gifts, those points that we squiggle on the line just a few lines up. Omar Reb Yitzchok. Reb Yitzchok explains the significance of Elisha enumerating 8 items. It's more of a rem as a hint to something else. Hoya Elisha Yoshev Vidorish. At the time that Gehazi went off to seek out the gifts, they had been involved with Torah study. Elisha was holding forth on the topic of Bishmoina Shrotzim. Bishmoina Shrotzim is a perek in Maseches Shabbos, and this deals with different kinds of Shrotzim creatures and under what circumstances they convey. The Shmoneh Shrotzim are the 8 types of Shrotzim that, when they're dead, they convey ritual impurity. They convey Tumah. In other words, not every Sheretz conveys Tumas Shrotzim, but 8 of them, and they're enumerated. They are enumerated, and they are the ones that convey Tumah. So, what was he saying to him? He was saying that, true, you got presents, let those presents be a reward for your Torah study. Your Torah study of Shmoyne Shrotzim, the 8 Shrotzim. So the number 8, when he was referring to the gifts, was really a hint to the fact that they were studying a topic called the 8 Shrotzim, but not that he actually took 8 gifts. Rashi says, Oysesha, Hoya Elisha Oysek Beperk Shmoyne Shrotzim. Omar lo, Elisha said to Gehazi, Higeya eis litel schar perek shmoyne shrotzim shasakti. It is now your chance to receive the reward for the study of that particular perek. Ulahochi kosav b'hai krosh shmoyne dvorim keneged oisoi perek. And that's why in the pasuk enumerating the gifts, 8 gift items were mentioned in honor of that particular chapter featuring the 8 shrotzim. Klomar. Bekesef ubegodim shekibalta mimenu min Naaman, through the silver and clothing that you received from Naaman, sovur ata liknois dvorim halolu,
liyosam l'cha schar shmoina shrotzim. They are to be considered as reward for your having studied shmoina shrotzim. Continuing in the Gemara, what the Gemara does now is gives us a background to Naaman and his coming to Elisha in the first place. Naaman equals Tsar Tzavo Melech Aram. He was the military, the general of the king of Aram, Hoya Mitzora, and this Naaman was afflicted with Tzoras. Omra le hahi revisa dishtaboy me'ara d'Israel, a certain young woman that was captured from Eretz Israel, she said to him, I'azlus l'gabi Elisha mosiloch, if you approach the Jewish prophet Elisha, he will heal you. Ki asa, omar le, so Naaman approached Elisha, Elisha said to him, zil tvol biyarden, go immerse yourself in the Jordan River. Omar le, Naaman said, responded, he said, Achuhi ko mechaychis bi, are you making a fool of me? Are you laughing at me? The reason for his exclamation is that the Jordan, as far as a physical body of water, was a rather minor river in the scheme of things, especially the general coming from the nation of Aram, where they had much more mightier and significant bodies of water. So what are you telling me to do, to jump into this minor stream and I'll be healed thereby? Amri le hanoda havu badei, there were those that were with him. Notice we used a singular quotation mark so that you would read this as a phrase, hanoda havu badei, namely those that were with him, with Naaman. They said to him, instead of jeering at this suggestion, my nafka loch mina, what difference does it make to you? Zil nasi, go test it out. Oza v'tova b'yardina v'itzi, he went, immersed himself in the Yarden and the Jordan River, and was healed. Oso aisi le kol hani dinokit, Naaman came to Elisha with all of the with all that he was in possession of, a likely reference to the 8 items that were mentioned above. Lot sovi libuli mine, Elisha lot sovi. Sovi means want. He didn't want to accept anything from him. Gehazi iftar mikame Elisha. Gehazi, who saw the offering of all of these valuable gifts and Elisha's refusal to accept them, he left the area. That's iftar mikame Elisha. He left the presence of Elisha. Ozal shokal mayde shokal, he went and took that which he took, the afkid, and he put it away. Ki osa, when he came back, chazia Elisha litzarasa v'porcha ilay reshe, Elisha noticed that Gehazi had an affliction of tzaras on his head. Omar le, Elisha said, Rasha, you evil man, higia es litol schar shmoina shrotzim, the time for you to receive the schar of having learned the parak of shmoina shrotzim, as we mentioned earlier, has come. V'tzaras Naaman tidbak b'cho u'bezarocha le'oilom, and the tzaras that Naaman had been afflicted with shall stick unto you and your offspring forever. Vayetze milfonov mitzora kesholeg, and he departed. Gehazi departed the presence of Elisha, mitzora, which is a whiteness that develops in the skin, whiteness like snow. V'arbo anoshim hoyu mitzorim pesach shar, posuk in Sefer Melachim Beis Perek Zayin says there were 4 men afflicted with tzaras at the gate of the city. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, these 4 men were Gehazi u'shloisha bonav. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer, Yetzer tinok v'isha, tehe smoil doicha v'yamin mekareves. The Yetzer is the desire for intimacy. In Torah law and philosophy, one is to deal with his yetzer hara, his desire for intimacy. There are many forms of intimacy that are forbidden, and the person in dealing with it should know how to suppress it, but not suppress it totally. And that's what is meant here when it says the small shibidocha, the weaker arm, should push it away. The min mekarevis. So that is true with regard to dealing with one's evil, with one's inclination for intimacy. Tinok, a child. Often children need to be guided and at times chastised and punished even, but it should not be done with total forcefulness. It should be done in a moderated way. V'isha, and also man's dealing with one's wife or with women. It should be done with a certain level of tenderness, even if it's necessary to chastise, but it should be done with tenderness. The Rashi points out, Yetzer ta'avoso, one's desires. Im marchiko menu legamri, if a person pushes it away completely, he will become celibate. Memayit yeshivas olam, he will reduce the world population. The im and with their people procreation will simply cease to exist. The im mekarvo legamri, if a person yields to it completely, bali de iser, he will find himself being guilty of violations. She'enu yochol lichboish yitzro midvar averov. If he yields to it completely, he'll find that he cannot control it and prevent and keep away from actual sin. Rashi continues, Tinog v'isha, daiton kala. They are sensitive. V'im titche oisam, and if you push them away forcefully, machadon min ho'olam. They will simply leave everything. Regarding this topic, the Gemara elsewhere expounds on it. And you'll find that in Maseches Sota. The Gemara here continues, Tan Rabbanan, Shlosha Chaloyim Chola Elisha. Elisha experienced three illnesses. Echad Shigira Dubim Betinokos. One was a result of his causing the bears to attack the children or the youth. And the story featured in Sefer Melachim concerning the bitter waters of Yericho, and there were when Elisha created a water supply for the townspeople, there were those that lost their parnosa, those that were offering bottled water to the local folks, and as a result of that, they started to jeer Elisha, and he was offended by the way they were dealing with him in an irrespectable fashion. And there's the story featuring the creation of bears and possibly a forest that ended up attacking those people that were insulting him. As a result of that, however, he's felt that he dealt with them too harshly, and he fell ill. Another illness, shidochol legehazi b'shtei yadayim, that as a result of the story we saw just above of his harsh dealing with Gehazi, the Echad, a third illness, Shemes Bo, that he eventually died from, Shinemar, Velisha Cholo Es Cholyoi Asher Yomus Bo. The Rashi points out that the expression Cholo Es Cholyo, Cholo is a reference to one, Cholyo, the second word is a reference to the second illness, and Asher Yomus Bo, the one that he died from, is a reference to a third illness. This brisa that we just learned serves as a lead-up to the following series of observations. You'll notice we have diamonds that appear in the text. This represents a series, and on the side, under the Mivneh heading, you notice a diamond is featured. Has cholosam shel gimel tefa'ois. We will see the origins or the beginnings of three phenomena. One, zikna, the phenomenon of aging. Number two, chulsha, of weakness, and three, choylish nisrape, the phenomenon of someone being healed from an ailment. Namely, prior to that point, when someone would fall ill, he wouldn't get better. The Gemara explains, Ad Avraham, until Avraham appeared, lo hoya zikna, there wasn't old age. In other words, there was chronological advancement in age, but it didn't appear physically on the person. As a result of that, called the Chozil Avram, anyone who would see Avram, Omar Ha Yitzchok, they would say, oh, here is Yitzchok, his son. Called the Chozil Yitzchok, Omar Ha Avram. People would be very confused. Bo Avraham Rachami, Avraham prayed, Dileve Le Zikna, that he should experience aging. Shenemar V'Avraham Zokain Bo Bayomim. With this new phenomenon appearing, people would of course be able to distinguish between him and Yitzchak. Ad Yankov Lo Havechusha. Until Yankov, there wasn't decline in health. In other words, people would live healthfully, and they would be healthy at the end. At when their time came to die, they would simply drop dead, and people wouldn't feel death coming on. And as a result of that, they wouldn't have an opportunity to issue wills regarding their estate. So the Gemara says that until Yankov, there wasn't chulsha, there wasn't this feeling of weakness or decline in health. Bo Rachami v'havi chulsha, he prayed for it that it should be part of the human experience. Shenemar v'yomer liYosef, it was Yosef was informed. Hinei avicha chole, behold, your father is sick. Rashi explains what we said already, but let's see this in the Rashi. Bo Rachami delevi chulsha, he prayed that there should be weakness. Kedeshe penai levonav lovoi kolechot v'echad mimakoymoi, allowing for time for one's sons to come from wherever they are located. Lios olav v'shas misa, to be present with him, with the father at the point of their death. Shekimat shiroin shenofal lamita, when the sons see or notice that their father has become bedridden, yodin shiyamus, they would be aware that he's about to die, umiskapsin uboim, and they would join to be together at that point. So what Rashi is bringing out is a point that's a little different than that which we said. We spoke about giving a person an opportunity to issue a will. Rashi here says that the significance of the falling, of taking ill, of becoming bedridden, would lend an opportunity to all the children to be together with their parent at the time of their death. Continuing in the Gemara, Ad Elisha, until the prophet Elisha came on the scene, Lo havi inish cholish de mispach, you didn't have a situation of people that would fall ill and get better from it. The Osa Elisha bo rachmi v'ispach, he came and prayed that there should be refuah, healing from states of illness. Shneamar v'Elisha chola es cholio asher yomus bo, Elisha suffered an illness from which he eventually died, which implies that that the other illnesses that he had, he didn't die from, and that's as a result of what was just mentioned. This Mishnah features entire groups of people that will not have a chelik in Olam Haba. This is in contrast with the previous Mishnah that spoke about individuals. Dor Hamabul Ein Lohem Chelik Lolam Haba. They don't have a portion in the world to come, and they don't stand to be judged. Shenemar lo yodun ruchi ba'odom le'olam, lo din v'lo ruach, a reference to no judgment and no portion in the world to come. Dor hafloga ein lohem chelik lo mabo. The first Dor Hamabul was the generation of the flood that was accompanied the time of Noach. Dor hafloga is the generation that was involved in the building of the Migdal Bovel, sometimes referred to as the Tower of Babel. So that generation, Dor Hafloga, Ein Lohem Chelik Lolam Haba, Shenemar, Vayofetz Hashem Oysom, Misham Al Pnei Kol Haoretz. Vayofetz Hashem Oysom equals Ba'olam Hazeh. That refers to their being cast out of this world. Umisham Hefitzom Hashem, and from there the extra expression that indicates the Olam Haba, they'll be cast out of the future world as well. Anshi Sdoim Ein Lohem Chelik Lolam Haba, Shenemar Vanshi Sdoim Roim Vachtoim Lashem Oid. Roim equals Bolam Hazeh, Vachatoim equals Lolam Haba. Avol Oimdin Bedin. The Anshi Sdoim are different than the previous groups. They will be subject to judgment. Rabbi Nechemia Omer Elu V'Elu Ein Oimdin Bedin. The Dor HaMabul and the Anshei Sdom will not stand in judgment. Shenema al kein lo yokumu rishoyim b'mishpat v'chatoim b'adas tzadikim. Al kein lo yokumu rishoyim b'mishpat ze Dor HaMabul v'chatoim b'adas tzadikim elu Anshei Sdom. Omru lo. The Tanakama says back to Rabbi Nechemya, Einon omdin ba'adas tzadikim, aval omdin ba'adas rishoyim. They won't stand in the group of the pious, of the righteous, but they will stand in the amongst the group of the wicked. Hence, they will stand b'din, as the Tanakama's, the original opinion, was stated. Dor hamidbar ein lohem chelak lolam haba the ein omdin b'din, the generation that left Mitzrayim, that was in the Midbar for 40 years. In other words, that generation that left Mitzrayim, ein lohem chelak lolam haba the ein omdin b'din shenemar b'midbar hazeh yitamu v'sham yomusu. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva offering a rather harsh judgment to the Dor hamidbar. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Aleim Hu Omer, Isfuli Chasidoi, Korse Brisi, Alei Zevach. Rabbi Eliezer responds, but the Pasuk refers to that generation as a generation of righteous, those that struck a covenant with me. Adas Korach, Eino Asido La'alois. The group that was part of the Korach rebellion will not arise. They were absorbed into the ground and not come up. Shinemar, Batchas Aleim Horetz, equals Bolam Azeh, Vayovdu Mitoch HaKohol, equals Lola Mabo Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Once again, you see Rabbi Akiva taking a rather harsh opinion with regard to the Adas Korach. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Rabbi Lezer has a different opinion. Aleim Omer, but regarding them it says Hashem Meimisu Mechaye Morid Sheol Vayoal, that Kodesh Baruch Hu, he kills and brings back to life, casts down into purgatory, and Vayoal, we've dashed underlined that as being the main point at which he differs with Rabbi Akiva, he will bring them up. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.